Welcome to Cloudlandia.
Mr. Sullivan.
Yes, it's welcome to Cloudlandia time.
Amen. I heard it's being recorded. So being recorded. That's half the job right there.
Yeah, and it's never going to let you down.
That's right. Well, yeah. Dan, what a whirlwind week. It was so good to see you and Babs and everybody.
We were shooting for one meal and it kind of ended up as five.
Yes. Well, you know, what can happen? Nothing wrong with that. I like it. They were all delightful.
Yeah, it was really interesting because I spent probably a day preparing for the Prezo Summit for our listeners. Mm-hmm. We just had our annual being the top level of strategic coach, and we have this every year. It's a meeting squeezed in between two drinking parties.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah, the meeting is so you can recover for the first. From the first drinking party so that you're ready to go for the second one.
And I'll tell you what, anyway, don't sell those poke bowls short. Those are delicious.
Yeah, I always find that alcohol is the almost fail-proof 10 times multiplier.
There you go.
$1 invested in alcohol somewhere along the line always produces a 10 times positive result.
Oh, good. That's noted.
Yeah, I'm not sure that marijuana does that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Anyway, but I spent a day on that conference. And what I did is we chose the speakers, and then Eleonora called each of them to see if that was okay. And we specified the topic, and that was all done by, Eleonora. And then what I did is I wrote a fast filter for each of the speakers, not on what they were going to talk about, but how they were going to talk about it. Okay. And I thought it worked really well. I thought it worked really well.
It really did. I mean, the panels were, it seemed like the whole thing moved quickly. Everybody was bringing valuable insights, just the resources they were recommending, especially the AI. Panel was fantastic. Not too much,
I immediately came back and started using Perplexity, and
I downloaded Perplexity as so. We should probably set the stage for what Perplexity is as a ChatGPT alternative and combined with kind of Google. And
it's interesting because I've done it on about 10 different questions. Ask a question and then I get an answer. But it's got two neat things about it. Down below, it has three more questions that you might ask. Okay. Three more on the topic that, first of all, it gives you the original answer and then it suggests three more things you might look into. But at the top, it's got four boxes. And these are references that you can go to that indicate where it got, the information to answer your question. And if you do the first thing, and what I was asking was Mark Mills, who is a tech thinker, he thinks a lot about what technology is doing to the world. And he mentioned in one of his books, it's called The Cloud Revolution, that if you look at technology, almost all the breakthroughs happen as a result of combining three existing technologies. And he goes back and he goes right back to Samuel Morse in the mid 19th century with the telegraph. And then he comes all the way forward to not to AI, but to how the internet came into existence. He puts the internet and talks about the three things that had to be there first before you could even think about creating this new technology. And the reason is I'm writing a quarterly book right now, which is called Everything is Created Backward. And what I mean by that is that you can't create the future out of the future because there's nothing there.
Right.
Where's the stuff? First of all,
in the simulation here. It's unrendered.
Nobody's ever been there. You know, but the problem with it is that you have to do an awful lot of convincing with something you try to create out of the future, you know. Mm-hmm. I just wrote the first chapter, the introduction, and I use iTunes as the example that Steve Jobs simply took three things that already existed. One was the MP3 player, which Apple already had the iPod. Okay. And he had already had millions of people already using the iPod. So he had a built-in audience to go through with something new. The second thing is that Napster had already pretty well figured out how you use the internet to download single songs.
Yes.
Okay. And their only problem with their model was that it was illegal. They were stealing, and that never has long shelf life.
They were sharing. They were sharing.
No, they weren't sharing. They were stealing. they were stealing other people's property and making money on it. Yeah, that's called theft. And then Apple had its operating system. So it was the MP3 player, the Napster innovation with the internet, and the Apple's operating system for all of its computers, which it had many more already existing customers. You know, the customers were already using it. And then he put it together and he created iTunes. You know, it was an app that went on your Apple platform and you could download music and then put it in your iPod.
That's great. And you're right. Yeah. Like I see the triple play, the things now. Like in just on looking at it.
I mean, if you look at artificial intelligence and work backwards, as a result of three things, I haven't really analyzed that, but it seems to be three things that had to exist before. And so what I'm suggesting in the book is that the key to your future is actually what you're doing with the past, your past experience, what's available to you. Yeah.
And so that's...
I think that's a tremendous breakthrough. I think this is a keen insight.
Yeah. I mean, what was a keen insight for me, my biggest takeaway from... The free zone.
I was looking for a little bit more excitement on your part.
No, I'm totally excited. And this is where it's related to what you're saying. That when we had the conversation about looking back at the habits that you've established now, that's what I meant, is that working backwards like that, everything that we've created right now is the sum, you know, the accumulation of all of the daily habits that I have instilled, right? The behaviors and habits and choices. And that only, you know, I think it goes in that, I think that fits with what you're saying, that you can't, it's not about, you know, picking something in the future when you said, what are the habits, what are the daily present habits of future Dan? Or future Dean of where you want. And that's the real thing, is that having to establish those habits.
Yeah. I've had a couple more thoughts since we talked in Palm Beach about how you could approach this. And so one of the things, and I have a tool that I've created, which really hasn't gone into the program at all, but it's called the Top 50 Tool. And it's just a page and it's got 50 boxes. Okay. And what you do is when you have a number of things, so let's just apply it to the present project. You have 50 existing daily habits right now. Everybody does, you know, everybody in the world. And I'm just arbitrarily picking 50. And my sense is if you put all the habits, the little things that you've woven together to produce who you are today, you know, it could be in the hundreds, you know, hundreds or thousands. But, you know, it fills up the time. You can account for it, you know, in the 24 hours. And then the waking hours, probably, you know, there's probably habits you have at life and nighttime, which bear examination. But I said, okay, so the first part of the project is just create a sheet that's got, you know, it's got 50 boxes, you know, 5 by 10. Okay. And number them 1 through 50. And then just, you know, and every day as you go through, observe something else. For example, in our house, I do the dishes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Babs cooks and I do the dishes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So usually it hangs around, you know, We have supper, you know, we have not so much breakfast, but we have lunch and dinner, and there's dishes, and I just put them next to the sink, close to the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. And then I go about doing something, and then I open the dishwasher, and there's a previous meal's already clean dishes there. So I have to unload it and, you know, put everything in the shelf, and then I load it, okay? And it's not a kind of how that I really like doing, but it's the agreement, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So within the last 3 weeks, I've adapted, as soon as the meal's finished, I do the dishes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And put the dishes in the dishwasher. In order to do that, before the meal, I look at the dishwasher and I unload it and put everything away so that when the meal's finished, it's just a matter of rinsing the dishes and putting them in the dishwasher. Well, okay. That's two habits. That's two habits right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they would go down in boxes, you know, two of the boxes. Okay. But once I do it, and I'm doing it the way that I would like to see me doing it in the future, you know, and, you know, and sometimes we have staff in the house and they do it so that it gets taken care of. It's not my, but when it's just Babs and me at our home and at our cottage, you know, two homes in Toronto and a home in Toronto, a home in Chicago, and then a cottage up north in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and I'm the dishwasher, you know, and I have to do it. So I said, since I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life, I might as well, you know, kind of improve it so that I actually enjoy the activity.
Yes. I really like this, Dan. Like, you're saying the same thing. I mean, the things that have been triggered from our conversation about it in in Palm Beach, you know, like you just described. It's one of those things, even if you ask yourself the question, is there any way to not do anything? I mean, the thing is that the dish has got to get done.
Well, the other thing that's part of my relationship with Babs, you know, you know, and she's commented a couple times during the last 2 weeks, and she said, I really like it that you get it done right away. Yeah.
You know, oh, well, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's your target audience right there.
I'm getting
social proof from your target audience. That's the exact thing.
And this is, I can tell you, this is my number one target audience. Yeah, so let's say you go through and you fill up your 50, okay? You know, you get them, you know, maybe it'll take you 2 or 3 weeks, and you just notice little things, you know, how you get up in the morning, you know, how you get ready for the day and everything. But there's a lot of little habits. There's a lot of little habits there. And then you sort of reach 50, and you say, now, how many of these tomorrow can I improve? I'll look at the habit, and then I'll say to myself, how would I like this always to be going forward?
Right.
And then you do it that way. You do it that way. And then you have to attach a point system to it. So you're scoring every day. Because I don't stick to things I can't score.
Right. Well, you may like, Dan, there's James Clear just launched his Atoms app, which is Atoms, A-T-O-M-S. And he's the guy that wrote, you know, Atomic Habits. And this is exactly what you are talking about here. You know, you can create habits that you want. You can, and it gives you prompts, or you can track. It's almost like Win Streak in a way, right? Where you're adding things on it. But daily, you can. So I set up my first habit that I set up just on Wednesday or Thursday, downloaded the app actually. I set up that I said, I want to start the first thing in the morning that I drink half a liter of water, 500 milliliters of water, the first thing that I do. when I wake up to, you know, rehydrate and do that. So I, you know, I've done that now. I've had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, four rounds of that. And it tracks your streak and it shows you your progress. And so I've had four total repetitions so far. And the way they set it up is you put a purpose around the habit, like why you're trying to do this, right? So the habit is that it's always like a place and a time and a reason, mm-hmm. I think, right? So it's a vote. And when they do your thing, when they give you the report, it's like, congratulations, that's four votes for
good.
A healthy Dean or whatever. You make every day you're making a vote.
I think that's great. Yeah.
I'm voting for this. So Habits is the name of the, or Atoms is the name of the app on iTunes.
In the App Store, right?
It's in the App Store.
Yeah.
And it's just a yellow stacking, yellow with like a white stacking thing. But
yeah, I've periodically over the last dozen years been conferences for James's. You know, and I've always enjoyed his take on things.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I like this, Dan, a lot. This is kind of gamifying things.
Yeah.
Said to,
now, I can tell you what my, if you call it my top 50 tool does. Then mm-hmm. there's a little arrow in each of the boxes. And what you do is you press the arrow and it takes you to a page where you develop your criteria for what constitutes a great habit.
Okay.
And then you attach numbers to that. And there's room, I think, for 10 criteria. Okay. And then you go through, and one of them is that I want to be more and more doing habits every day that are going to last the rest of my life.
Yes.
So that would be one criteria. And uh-huh. I can establish the range. And then all you have to do is the criteria for one, and then it applies the criteria to all of them. And then as you go along, you start improving the criteria. And the moment you improve the criteria, it improves it for all of them. Okay. Mm. And then as you go through, you notice that certain habits get a better importance score than others. And it automatically prioritizes the 50, that this is number one, this is number two. Is number three, right to 50.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about that?
Would you like to get that? Where would one get one of these tools? Yes, exactly.
Only from a particular person.
Okay, this is good.
Yeah, and it's right now it's a FileMaker file.
Uh-huh.
FileMaker no longer exists, but this continues to work.
Okay,
this continues to work. Okay, so I'll just send you the FileMaker
form. Oh, great. I like that.
Yeah, FileMaker form. And as you're going along, what it does is I think the combination of the Atom app and this tool probably completes the circle.
It might be. I mean, I'd love to, because what you're describing.
But here's the tip.
Sounds like.
As you go along, there's habits that are less important and they don't belong on the top 50.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another backup 50, and they're in the backup 50.
Okay, the farm team.
Yes.
Yes.
You can't have major league without a farm team.
That's exactly right. I like, you know, what's really interesting about this, Dan, is if I was really reflecting on my accumulated daily habits, right? If I look at what are my observable habitual behaviors, right? Mm-hmm. And I went through. The way I went through it was looking at the vignettes of each day, like looking at a timeline from the moment I wake up. And I was saying, you know, I have established really good sleep habit of, you know, my sleep window is very uniform. My, you know, I woke up this morning, I, you know, 87, 86 on my sleep and readiness score for my Oura Ring. I get enough deep sleep and all of that. So I've established that habit of mm-hmm. really a really good sleep window there. Then I started looking at, you know, my observable if we were just somebody was following me around, logging my movements, like in a computer program or whatever, like just line items, like lining, describing every step or everything that I took. Part of it is, you know, replacing now, looking for the opportunities, like, where do I want to establish this habit? And I think that little window of, you know, right when I get up, the first, you know, the first hour of being awake, what do we want those habits to look like?
Yeah,
would future Dean's habits be?
Well, that's it. And you know something? There are constraints on Dean's future habits. You know what they are? Dean's present habits are constraints.
Yes, that's exactly it. I get it. And that's what you're saying. It's like you can't do anything in the future.
No, you can't do anything in the future. You can only do things in the present that change the future.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. But I've been around the tech people, and the environmental movement, no more fossil fuels. It's such a bullshit goal because 80% of all the energy on the planet comes from fossil fuels. Okay. The other thing is that the people who have these kind of goals are really not very good at getting anything done.
Yeah.
They went to university. They've been in university for 6 years. You know, they've been in school since they were 4 years old. They've never actually done anything in the real world, you know. But they're going to change the entire structure of the world. And the problem is that it's not a plausible goal, like no fossil fuels, you know. The other one is no borders, you know, the thing. We shouldn't have borders. Well, there are borders. And people will kill for the borders. Yeah.
Right,
but the thing is, the people who set these type of goals in the future are some of the most incompetent people on the planet.
And it's really interesting that the way you described it there, all these people, they're not accountable for the daily habit. They're talking, they're just going and admonish people about this future, this no fossil fuels, because it's not actionable. It's not actionable.
And what they're trying to generate is tax money. They're trying to generate donations. They're trying to, but without ever producing any kind of satisfactory result, you know?
Yeah, because they're just painting the ideal. And I wonder, how do we do that in our own lives? I mean,
well,
that's kind of an interesting
thing. One of my things that have occurred to me is that all your goals for the future are actually you operating, you personally as an individual, operating at a higher level of capability. You know, I mean, you know, if you have another house that's bigger, it's better, you know, it's got far more, it's more in the right place. It's, you know, it's got about 10 better criteria that you could say. And you say, well, that's my goal. And I said, no, that's actually the result of you being a different and more productive person in the future. Mm-hmm. So every goal you have to bring back that it's you as a person operating at a higher level. You're making more money, you know, and that's number one, you know.
Yeah.
And in order for you to make more money, you've got to look at what you're doing right now to make money and improve it. And there may be, between you and that house, there may be 10 improvements that you have to make to how you're making money right now.
Yes. Yeah, this is...
You may need the 8 profit activators.
Exactly. Which one?
I mean, all the profit activators are habits, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. With metrics. I mean, that's part of the thing, I think, is that it's measurable, right? Everything you're describing, that'd be a good habit.
Horrible habits.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. And it dawned on me how long these habits, many of them, have been established. Like, I like your idea of the ranking of the habits. I mean, the numbering them, you know, there's probably a habit, you know, but this is endless pursuit, it feels like, you know, an endless.
Well, it's a daily improvement activity, you know, because what I'm finding, I've been doing this for about 4 months now, daily habits. And the first one, and what I've been doing is I've been going to Buenos Aires I've done it three times. The fourth is coming up in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And there's basically 6 weeks before visits to Buenos Aires. So I said, I'm going to create a 42-day cycle of changing certain habits. Okay.
Oh, wow. Anchor to something. Right.
Well, you anchor it in time. You give it a structure. Yeah. And then, mm-hmm. so that's, you know, 6 weeks is 42 days. It's an odd time period, and that intrigues me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I've got these 42-day improvement periods. And
you know
then
what
I
else?
Say,
mm-hmm. Just a lot to support the 42 is that, you know, they say it takes 21 days to establish a habit, and 42 is just twice that. So you get two cracks at 21 days to establish.
You just explained why I did it. You just explained why I did that. But I didn't know that.
There you go. No, that it's great though, right? Like that's a...
I'm doubling down.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that. I had not seen that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but what I did the first one, it was very simple. No snacking between meals. Mm-hmm. I don't get into trouble with meals. I get in trouble with what happens between meals.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And cool. I aced it. Aced it over 42 days. And then I started adding. So the second one had two or three habits. The third one, you know, the 42, because I'm getting used to it. Okay. And, you know, and then all of a sudden I said, pay attention to all your habits and just do it right. If there's something you have to do that day, do it the way you would like to have it done in the future and give yourself points for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but there's an enormous, well, first of all, there's a dopamine hit to it because it means that every day is valuable for learning and growth. And that's a, right. You know, that's a great thing.
This is fascinating because that dopamine is healthy. Good. You're the beneficiary of the dopamine compared to watching.
You're your own dealer.
Yeah. Be your own dopamine dealer. That's a great title for a quarterly book, Dan.
I just logged in.
I mean, that's the truth.
Was good. Yeah. You never know. Anytime you talk to Dean, you're going to get a new quarterly book out of it.
Sometimes you get a major market book out of it. You never know.
That's a good habit. That's a good habit. Yeah. I don't know what it is about Dean, but anytime I'm around him, I can count about, you know, half a year down the road, and something he said is now a book.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? The elegance of your 42, the 42 days, 6 weeks, is that you could get two rounds of that per quarter. It's just another nice, elegant fit.
Well, you can get basically 42, you can get two rounds basically, in a quarter. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you
12,
get 84 and then you get some free days to
go wild, unfettered.
Unfettered. Yeah. Enough of the structure, you know. But the interesting thing about it is you're actually, every time you improve a daily habit, you're exponentially improving your future.
Yes. Yes. And it's the only way.
Yeah. And the
Not
thing
just
is, there's certain habits you would like to change today, but you have to change some other habits before you can get to it. Yeah. So, you know, I'll give you an example. Like, I've been listening to people talking about intermittent fasting. Okay.
Yes.
Like, you know, like you go a weekend without eating. I said, no, I'm not anywhere near that. But what I've noticed is on Saturday and Sunday, I can have 16-hour periods between meals. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, so on Saturday, we have dinner at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I don't eat again until, so that's 9 hours before midnight. And then I eat breakfast at 7, and that's 16 hours.
Okay. Yep.
And that's intermittent fasting.
Okay. Yeah.
And I can do the same thing on Sunday over Sunday night and breakfast. So I said, no, I'll just start off. Once on a weekend, I'll do it. And now I'm at the point where I can do it twice on a weekend. You know, people said, well, you know, it doesn't matter unless you do it for a couple of days. And I said, I can't do it for a couple of days.
Right.
My habits don't support it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know.
So whenever people say you should do something, you have to check back and say, interesting, but my habits don't support what you're talking about.
Right. Right. Yeah. This is amazing. This whole little daily dashboard and scorecard and.
But you're totally in control of that. You own it.
Yeah.
You're the only one who knows the habits. You're the only one who knows how you want the habits to be in the future. There's complete agency here on the part of an individual, you know, and you can ignore all the ramblings of other people about what you should do and you have to do this and everything else. So it's bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is, And then there's a guy, Rob Dyrdek. I don't know if you know him.
You've talked about him.
Okay.
Yeah.
That, you know, everything that we're talking about is exactly, you know, what he's on board with. Everything he's talking about is, Chad Jenkins. I gave him, and Steve DeStante, actually. Rob Dyrdek did a back-to-back two podcasts called The Most Unrelatable Podcast Episode You'll Ever Listen To. And it was him describing to the what ends he goes to track and quantify and establish his daily habits. And it's fascinating. I mean, just to see, you know, make things inevitable, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and there, one thing this makes you appreciate that nervous systems are really different. You know, human nervous systems are really, you know, what appeals to one person doesn't appeal to other people. And I think that's a tough nut to crack for a lot of people because they want what they're doing to be the truth. And I said, well, it is the truth as long as you don't
go...
It is the truth, but don't go beyond yourself with it, you know. You know, and I think it has a lot to do with your, you know, your early experiences in life, what you got used to doing, what you like to do, things that you didn't like. And I think and these are forming before we have the ability to be conscious about them.
How many of your habits, Dan, in on looking at your list are 50-year-old oak trees?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, some of the habits are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them are beyond 75 years.
Right. Mm-hmm. And not some of them, you know,
I'm probably not going to fool around with those.
No.
Not at first.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do not take on a 75 year habit.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. But it's really interesting. I was, you know, this happens to, if we can shift the context, I've been very interested in the reason why in the last 2 weeks, Google has lost $90 billion its market value because of a stupid AI chat. Okay.
Okay. I don't know what happened. So you'll take me
well, in. What they do, it's a new chatbot that when you put in directions, it'll create graphics for you. Okay. I'll give you an example. Somebody says, can you give me a picture of Vikings? And it comes back and they're all black.
Okay.
Now, Vikings were the whitest people in the world.
Yes, right, right. Yeah.
Northern European, not much sunlight, you know.
Yes.
So anyway, and then it says, give me a picture of the founding fathers of the United States. And there are a whole bunch of them sitting at a table. And a number of them were black. So I'm just giving you the general context that what's being reflected in the Google chatbot is the dominant political views of the organization.
Interesting, isn't it? So
and they're getting such backlash. Well, their stock, you know, their stock valuation went down by $90 billion in about a week and a half. $90 billion, they just dropped. You know, their stock value down. Now, I would interpret that as someone giving you feedback.
right.
You know, because what a stock price is an estimation of the future value of something, you know, And what I realized is that now they're scrambling. Everybody had to work all this weekend to correct the problem. But the problem isn't their chatbot. The problem is Google's dominant thought process. Okay. So what's being reflected in any organization's Cloudlandia presence is what their mainland habits are. I mean, yeah. I don't think you can communicate too much beyond what your dominant habits are as an individual and as an organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is, and I wonder that, so you're thinking like the Google things as reflecting, their own biases are coming through in the stuff that it's in
well,
the
output
that we're
that
getting.
They have a bigger game to change how people think. I think they do, and maybe they shouldn't be that ambitious. Maybe they should just change the way that they think.
It's so amazing to me that there really is no, like, it's difficult now to get objective stuff, to get objective information without that. I saw that sort of, you see it coming through in the biggest companies like Google, all the media, the mainstream
Meta.
Yeah, that you see the whole, I was sharing with you the headline, when Donald Trump just won South Carolina by a landslide, over 60% of the vote, 39% to Haley. Yep. And the headline on Drudge was 40% of Republicans don't want Donald Trump. It was like, what an amazing flip of mentioning the historical trouncing that she got in her own home state.
But
40% of Republicans don't want Donald.
In politics and in business, the number 51 is really important. I tell people, when you own a business, there are two numbers that matter, 51 and 49. 51 is the same as 100. 51 is the same as 100%, and 49 is the same as zero.
Yes, that's true.
If you don't understand the difference, the crucial difference between 51 and 49, you're going to have a rough life. You're going to have a rough life. And he just won three more tomorrow, and they were, they were equal to the that he's been achieving everywhere else. There's now been seven states and he's won all seven. Yeah. But 40% of people don't want him.
40% of Republicans don't want Donald Trump. That's right.
Yeah. 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 So the interesting, I think next Tuesday there's 15, there's 15. It's called Super Tuesday. Super Tuesday, and probably he'll be up by 22 to nothing by the end of Tuesday night, and he said, and she'll be saying, I'm gaining on him.
Gaining on him, don't give up.
These are simply 22 flesh wounds.
Right, exactly. Money.
Yes.
I'm not dead yet. Yeah.
Just a stump, no legs, no arms, but
I can still bite you. I can bite your knee.
I can't quite figure out what her long game is by doing this short, her short-term activity. I can't figure out what her long-term plan is.
Yeah. What a year this is going to be. Good.
This is going to be a great year. I think this is a tectonic shift year. I think, and it's not just in the States. It happened in Argentina when we were down there, the new government that came in. It happened in Holland. It's kind of happening all over the world right now that people who know how to count are replacing people who don't know how to count.
Yes. So amazing. Dan, I'm excited about the 50. I'm excited to get that to
him. Yeah, I'll be in the office tomorrow, and I'll have our tech team send you it. And it's just, you just punch on it, and it opens up, and it's self-explanatory.
I like it.
It's just called the Top 50 tool. And then, you know, you it's 50 boxes on the first page, and then you have a backup page that has 52. And you just start listing them, and then you want to grade them in terms of their priority as a habit. And then I think it fits in really well with what James is doing.
Yes. I'm just, that's the only habit I've established on there so far, but I think it's really, yeah, it's really, I think, going to be a great thing because you can anchor it to times, you know, like when you want mm-hmm. to, mm-hmm. when you want to establish this habit, like you mm-hmm. were saying, the dinner, the dishes is, how are you triggering that and measuring? So
well,
you're saying
you never lose if you do a habit that's from the past and it's not what you want in the future. You don't lose points if you do that. There's no losing points. You can only gain points. Okay.
Okay.
So I've got a daily scorecard. Okay. And like in the first 42 days, in I got a total of 122 points for, you know, sticking to no snacks between meals.
Oh, good. That's great. So you're keeping like the tally of it.
Yeah, I'm keeping a tally. And then when I go back to Buenos Aires and I said, next time I'm coming back and I don't remember exactly, but I added two or three more habits, you know, to it. And, mm-hmm. As you're going through the day, you're becoming more and more conscious of your daily habits. If you do it 10 days in a row and you're tracking habits, the next habits on the list will suggest themselves to you. You don't have to go looking for them. You know, you don't have to go looking for them. They're looking for you now. They want to get points.
And they build, you get the momentum of the feedback too, right? Like that's, did Babs know what you're up to or did she?
Yeah.
And, your observation.
She's starting to do it herself. I mean, she was inspired to start doing it. She won't do it to the maximum way that I do because that's not what she does. But right. She knows she's with me, so she knows things will get better.
Right.
Yeah, I'm around a good habit-forming person. I mean, I'll just hook on and I know things will get better. But anyway, yeah, but you know what it's doing is that all humans are completely equal and that they only get 24 hours per day.
That's true.
That is true. Your comment.
The speed of reality.
That's the speed of reality.
Yeah, and it's funny when you say it, when I first started thinking about it, I thought, you know, is that too obvious? But
no.
I think it's one of those... it's been right there.
Well, the other thing I think I can tell you, a lot of the problem they're having in their life is they don't account for that truth.
Right. Yeah. I think that's really the thing, right? Is tuning into the speed of reality and looking the only time we can really have any action is today. And there's a hard stop. I mean, there's a hard stop on it that your sleep, you know, there's no possible way for us to do anything tomorrow. Yeah.
And the only impact you can have on yesterday is what you're changing today.
Yes. And that's the thing I was having. So Joe Polish came back with me from Palm Beach. He just left yesterday, but he spent 3 to 4 days with me here. And I mean, we set up my total environment here for success, you know, in terms of eating. And you know, we went through my kitchen and cleared out everything that isn't supporting the habit of future healthy being, right? Yeah. And we went through, we were talking about the four C's too, is the commitment and then courage and capability. Yeah. And so we went, I don't cook and I've never cooked. I've never cooked. Don't really have any skill in that. But
that means that if we catch you cooking, we know something is deeply wrong.
That, or deeply right. I mean, we went and got an Instapot. I don't know if you've heard of this device, so the Instapot is a miracle vessel. I mean, you just put stuff in and push a button and then it cooks. Yep. It's like, so we went to the grocery store and we got some, you know, some organic chicken legs and chicken thighs and chicken breast. And we got some grass fed ground beef, 90-10. And we've cooked the whole 4 days that he was here. And so the thing is now I left this with a new capability, right? Like, so now I've got, and I said to Joe, it's kind of like reframing. I think it's almost like getting back to building a primal habit of going to the grocery store and hunting some dinner, hunting food, right? Go hunt some chicken and bring it home and clean it and cook it and enjoy and eat it, you know?
But rather than having the food hunting you.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And so that capability, you know, like we literally just take the chicken, wash it, some salt and pepper, put it in the pot, put some potatoes in there on top, whole just washed, you know, Yukon Gold or gold potatoes, put it in there. Press the button, 11 minutes, and it's the most delicious, whole, you know, wholesome, no oils, no anything. It's just so clean, right? You've got organic chicken, you've got the stuff, and it's delicious. And then we've got on the pan, I learned some pan skills, right, of being able to just with some butter in the pan, you know, grass-fed organic butter, of course, and we got some steaks that were like thin cut. We got some pork chops that were thin cut, ground beef, all of those, just the same thing, just taking the meat, salt and pepper, and a little bit of, if I wanted to add any spice or whatever to it, cook it on, you know, both sides, and there you go. We even chopped up zucchini and squash into little medallions and sauteed them in the pan. So this capability now of being able to see this is a better habit to develop driving through somewhere, right?
The big thing is that it's got a future reference that you have a sense of who you'd like to be in the future as an individual, you know.
Yeah.
And you can only be that in relationship to the habits that you form.
Right.
Because, you know, there's part of our day which requires focus, concentration, because it's new stuff.
Yeah.
And therefore, the habits have to be good when we're not focusing directly on the activity. You have to have great habits, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the book I just came out with, The Great Meltdown, is that the U.S. is the top country in the world because it's got the best widespread habits of people using innovative skills to lower the cost of money, lowering the cost of energy, lowering the cost of labor, lower cost. And no country in the world can possibly match it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And the prices of things are up and down, unpredictable around the world. But the U.S. has a habit of always trying to lower the cost of anything, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Not other countries don't have this. And so, you know, you can see the difference between Canada and the United States right now. I mean, it's really extreme. From the last time you were here, the difference, the average per capita income in the United States is now lower than the per capita income of Mississippi.
Wow.
Mississippi is number 50 in per capita income, and the average Canadian is now below. What per capita is in Mississippi.
Below, wow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah. And not only that, they don't freeze to death in Mississippi.
Right. That's exactly right. At least they got that going for them.
And that's basically, you can measure it from when the present prime minister came in. It's been going downhill since this prime minister came in because he wants to save the world.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? That's been funny to watch the, you know, my algorithm for, you know, sending me things, video clips and stuff is now, I get a lot of those Pierre Polyev.
Polyev. Smart guy. I had breakfast with him about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Smart guy. Very smart.
Yeah.
And from Alberta, which... From Alberta, French speaking from Alberta. That's a pretty good, you know, that's a pretty good background, you know.
He's got a triple, that's a triple play. Canadian.
That's a triple play.
Albertan.
For a Canadian and Albertan who speaks French. Yeah,
I mean, he's got it all covered because
it just doesn't get a, and then his wife is from Venezuela. She's a refugee. So she knows what a country gone wrong really looks like.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and you know, so anyway, but you can just see the difference that the United States is better at handling melt costs than Canada is.
Yeah, wild. Well, Dan, I'm
this
excited.
This is great.
Seven days.
I'll send you the tool. I can promise you, you'll have the tool by this time. Not this time, but by the end of the day tomorrow, you'll have the top 50 tool and play around with it. I mean, it's self-explanatory. You don't have to. There's no rule book that comes with it. You'll just play with it. But just remember in every square where you put something, if you press the arrow, it takes you to the criteria page.
Okay, perfect. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay,
then I'd be interested in the teamwork between the top 50 tool and the Adams app. That'll be really interesting because I've been lacking a daily scoring system. You know, people won't stay with something unless they can score on a daily basis.
That's the truth. That is true.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
All right.
See you. I can't wait. I'll have it tomorrow.
All righty.
Thanks, Dan.
I'll be on next week if you are.
I am. Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.